Moses judged and made decisions about every conflict, about every single dispute Moses judged over the children of Israel. From early in the morning until late in the evening, Moses stood in the seat of judgment over the people. And then Jethro, his father-in-law, he sees how tired, how fatigued Moses is. It's also obvious that the people aren't really happy with the situation either. It's wearing them out as well. Let me ask you, have you ever stood in line at a grocery store? Anybody? How about the post office? Yeah. How about Walmart? Yeah, let me tell you. Did you ever get impatient? Well, I did. Come on. Did you ever get impatient? I always count the items that people have in their carts, and I try to get to the line with the smallest amount of items in people's carts. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter. It ends up the last line. Because there's somebody gets to the front and, well, let me just say, a woman gets up to the front. Wait. And she's looking for her money. But this is after everything's already checked and everything's bagged, everything's ready. She goes in her purse, and at first she's trying to find her wallet in the purse and digging down, and it's one of those purses that are like small suitcases. And looking, can't find it. Then she finds a wallet and going through it, and where's the money in the wallet, and going through it, and, well, here's $1, and there's over here. And it takes like 15 minutes. Have you ever? Yeah, you've seen that before. God? Oh, the coupons also. So you can imagine what it would be like if you had to wait not just minutes, but hours to see Moses, to judge. And sometimes it was more than hours, it was even days. Days in line to come before Moses for him to judge a case for you. Here in the desert, there were close to 2.5 million people, and there was only one line to stand in. It wasn't like Walmart that has a few lines. Although sometimes at Walmart I get frustrated, or at Winn-Dixie's really bad at it too, because there'll be one line with 10 grocery carts and they won't open another line. They won't open another line. Oh, now you got me all upset. I don't even know if I can go on anymore. But yeah, it's frustrating. But Moses, 2.5 million people, a whole bunch of them want to talk to him, want to get judged, want right judgment between. Because you imagine all these 2.5 million people in the desert, they're fighting with each other. They're arguing with each other. I mean, there's always something going on. And he was supposed to judge over them. Wow. So Jethro sees this and he gives Moses some very godly advice. And he says, Moses, my son, you need some help. You definitely need some help. You think he needed help? You heard it. He needed some help. You know, God did not intend for us to work alone. There's a reason that he created Eve. We read in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone, and I will make a helper suitable for him. And it's a principle that we find throughout God's word. Together, everyone accomplishes more than you can by yourself. You know, when Yeshua set out for his public ministry, one of the first things he did was what? He selected 12 men to work with him, because he knew the work was going to be enormous and he wanted to train up some men. And when he sent out 70 later to do their work, he insisted that they go two by two, because you can get more done when there's more than one. Never alone. And why did he do that? It was simple. When you and I attempt to work for God by ourselves, we will wear ourselves out. We will. We'll burn out. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. So there's a principle there about the importance of working together. You know, in science, we call this synergy. You ever hear that word, synergy? Which simply says two people can get more done by working together than by working alone on the same task. You know, you may be able to carry 50 pounds. Maybe I can carry 297 pounds. You know, how much can we carry together? Well, you say, well, we just double that. You know, you just put the two together and that's the amount. If you can carry 50 and I can carry 60, well, then we can carry 110 pounds. Well, that's not the way it works. Let me explain this to you. Here's another little story for you. Many years ago, there was a horse pulling competition where the first place horse pulled roughly 9,000 pounds. Now, it's these big horses like Clydesdales, 9,000 pounds. And the second place horse pulled approximately 8,000 pounds. After the event was over, just out of curiosity, the organizers hooked these two horses together to see how much weight they could pull as a unit, as a team. Now, we'd probably expect that they would pull, you know, 9,000 this one, 8,000 this one, 17,000 pounds they'd be able to carry together, right? Doesn't that make sense? What actually happened was this. When the two horses were put together, bridled together, they pulled nearly 30,000 pounds. 30,000. That's a lot more than 17,000 pounds. That's synergy. That's teamwork. And I believe it's the reason that Yeshua created the believing community. The kehilat, the church, whatever you want to call it. The community, the body that he created. Because we could all work together more effectively as we were together in teamwork. We read in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock I will build my community. And the gates of Sheol, or the gates of Hades, will not overpower it. Why? Because there is strength when God's people work together. And we are better together. So, when Jethro sees Moses here, trying to do the job all by himself, he says, "This isn't good. You need some help, my son." And it was true for Moses, and it's true for this congregation here. This congregation, it's true. Moses was a great leader, but he had a couple of blind spots. First is, Moses did too much of the work alone. He did too much alone. And secondly, Moses wasn't training others to do God's work. And the same thing can happen in a congregation, can happen in this congregation. You know, businesses use organization charts. You ever, at your work, those who work, have you ever seen those organization charts? Yeah? That show, you know, one head guy, and then it branches off to 20 million other people and so forth. But the one that Moses had, his organization chart just had him sitting there on a chair. That was his, because he did all the work by himself. Now, if that happened to a great leader like Moses, it can happen here at Etz Chaim Messianic Synagogue. In fact, it really has happened, and it is happening here at Etz Chaim. And in a huge way, I can hear Jethro speaking to us, saying, what you are doing is not good. Can you hear Jethro's voice? Who hears it? Alinda, you hear the voice? You did? What, are you crazy? But really, I can hear Jethro's voice speaking to us, saying, what you are doing here at Etz Chaim Messianic Synagogue is not good. You know, the people of God, that's you, you in this room, the people of God must get involved in the ministry here at Etz Chaim Messianic Synagogue. Some people here, be some as leaders, some as ushers, some as greeters, some working in the nursery, some teaching the children, some as singers, some playing instruments, some running the sound system, some running the PowerPoint, some cleaning up after services instead of running out the door before someone catches you, some taking out the trash. The last few weeks, nobody's been taking the trash out. I have to grab somebody. Please help me take out the trash. It hasn't been getting taken care of, etc., etc., etc. There's so much to do and so few people who want to do it. You know, maybe it doesn't seem glorious to you, getting the waste baskets on the trash or putting the chairs up or ushering or doing the, maybe it doesn't seem so glorious. I am a gifted speaker. I want to teach the people the Word of God. Is that you? Is that you in here? Or do you want to help the congregation in all the things that need to be done, even if it's little, even if it maybe seems insignificant? Are you willing to do it? And together we are the community of God. Why does it need to be that way? Because the rabbi and the rabbitson and the elder and a few other leaders, a few other people cannot do it all alone. It's impossible. It can't be done by ourselves. And we just wear ourselves out. A lot of times I've been worn out. Bob, you've been worn out, right? Look at Bob over there. Doesn't he look worn out? Yeah, look at that. Yeah, you're just bucking for a raise, aren't you? Okay. Okay. It can't. It's impossible. You know, one of the first things that we see in this passage is that leadership can be frustrating if our priorities are not in order. Priorities have to be in order. We read in Exodus 18:13. It says, the next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from the morning till the evening. Remember, the children of Israel were used to being slaves and being told what they were to do. Now they were free people, but they still wanted the advice of Moses on everything. Moses, I've got this hangnail. What should I do? Moses, instruct me. They were used to being told everything. When to wake up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, when to relieve themselves. Whatever it was, they were used to being told everything, having that slave mentality. And now they still wanted to come to Moses day after day. Tell us what to do, Moses. Tell us how to do, Moses. How do we do this? How do we fix this? Moses, Moses, Moses. And Moses was making a common mistake that many leaders make. He thought activity and busyness was how you become successful. Now, I've made that mistake myself. Being busy, looking active, never made anything turn out successful or turn out right. We think that the busier that we are, the more successful that we'll be. But busyness does not equal success. That's a myth. Overcommitment can result in severe health problems as well. Let me tell you what, you know that the suicide rate among religious leaders, pastors and rabbis and all that, is significantly higher than the rest of the population. Did you know that? Do you know that how many pastors that commit suicide every year? You don't read about it that often, but it's much higher than the average, much higher, because they get overworked. They think that they have to do everything, that no one else is there. They have to do everything from cleaning the building and cleaning the bathrooms to vacuuming to counseling to teaching, everything you can imagine. And they wear themselves out, and then they can't meet their own expectations. They feel like they're a failure. I blew it. Look at me. I'm worthless. I'm no good. And they end up, numbers of them, committing suicide. And the number of pastors that leave the ministry every year is getting more and more and more, because they just cannot handle it. They can't handle the pressure of it. That's why we can't do it alone. We need the help of everybody together, working together. Someone once said that a life out of balance is like a tire out of balance. They will both wear out quickly. So Jethro came to Moses and he gives him some advice. He asked Moses two very important questions that every leader must answer at some point. And the first has to do with priorities. He says in Exodus 18:14, "What is this that you are doing?" Jethro tells this to Moses. "What is this you're doing?" In other words, what are you trying to accomplish here, Moses? And Moses replies to Jethro in Exodus 18:15, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will." They're coming to me all day long to seek God's will, so I've got to give it to them. I've got to be there. I've got to do it. I'm the only one who can do it. I'm the only one who knows God's will. His priorities are messed up. It's like saying, if you want a job well done, you have to do it yourself. We think we're indispensable. Boy, I catch myself doing that all the time, thinking I'm the only one who knows how to do it right. And I get into arguments with my beautiful, gorgeous wife over there over that all the time. Well, if you think you know how to do it, why do you just go ahead and do it? Don't bother me then. Right? And then comes the frying pan. Ooh. I tell you what. Oh, I tell you what, the frying pan, especially when it's full of grease. Oh, that makes hot grease. Oh, that's even worse. Anyway, so we think we're indispensable. We're the only one who knows how to do it. And it's a lie from the evil one. Too many leaders try to do it all by themselves. What happened to Moses happens to leaders at every single level. One historian wrote that Jimmy Carter, which I'm using this as an example, I think he was a horrible president, okay? But and he was so anti-Israel, and today he is so anti-Israel, incredibly anti-Israel. Anyway, this historian wrote that Jimmy Carter was so detail-oriented that when he first took office as president, he was involved in scheduling people to play tennis on the White House tennis courts. He took care of scheduling that, you know, the tennis court. He wanted to be involved in everything there. And Jethro gave Moses some advice that every leader needs to follow. And this is in Exodus 17:18. "Again, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You can't handle it alone." Jethro made it clear in Exodus 18:19, "You must be," this is what he said, Moses, talking to Moses, "you must be the people's representative before God." and bring their disputes to him or their prayers to him. And that's the same thing. I'm supposed to be, as the leader, I am supposed to be the one who brings the prayers before God of the people and be praying for the people. I'm not supposed to be the one that after services are cleaning up and after everyone's run out of the building to go get a sandwich, and I'm here and Bob's here going through and picking up all the trash on the floor because somebody, like under Raymond's chair, there's some trash right now, Raymond. Looks like some candy wrapper or gum wrappers there. I can see that from here. Do I have to pick that up after services? Yes? Okay. So I'm saying, people run out, they're all gone, and I look, and the rows sometimes are, the chairs rows are all over the place. It looks like somebody went through and shoved the chairs everywhere you can imagine. And then in between the rows, candy wrappers, gum wrappers, paper. Somebody blew their nose and threw it on the floor. I'm serious. Am I supposed to be doing that, or am I supposed to be praying to God in your behalf, seeking the Lord in your behalf? Wow. Anyway, as the leader, the first priority is that. Where was it? Okay. As a leader, the first priority is that the leader must be growing in relationship with Yeshua, the Messiah. That has to be one of the most important things for the leader, to continue to grow in the relationship with the Lord so they could be a better leader and be better in ministering and comforting the people. Leaders must find their strength in Messiah and Him alone. Being a leader is not about giving. Here's actually four things here. Being a leader is not about giving advice. Being a leader is about who you are in the inside. One of the things that the disciples could not understand is why Yeshua kept wanting to get away from the crowds. They didn't understand it, but there were two reasons for that. Yeshua was weary. His schedule was very full. He was tired. Secondly, Yeshua really wasn't trying to get alone by himself. He wanted to be alone with the Father. That's what he wanted, because that's where he got his strength. That's where he got his answers. And secondly, a successful leader must learn the principles of delegation. Jethro's advice to Moses in Exodus 18:20 was train others to do the job. Moses trained other people. And a large part of delegation is recruiting the right people to do the right job. And just because you may come to Bob and say, Bob, I want to be a singer. Can I be one of the singers up here? And you can't keep a tune. All right? You start singing and it sounds like an eagle coming down upon its prey. And then Bob has to say, well, let me pray about this, you know, let's keep it in our prayers, you know, try to get out of it gracefully, right, Bob? You know what I mean, right? Okay.